your vision for real with Alicia Michelle. Today's episode of the Eurovision for Real podcast was previously recorded for video, so you can watch at youtube.com/AliciaMichelle or sit back and listen to the show. To start this off appropriately, we got to talk about the latest news. We always start with the latest news. So the latest news is this. All right, we've got our semifinal allocation draw, and I'm just going to share some quick thoughts on what I feel. So the things that are screaming out to me when I look at this, and just so folks know, if you're watching this on the replay, you could have been here live. If you were subscribed, you would be here. You would be here live. So, hey, folks have joined. Oh, my goodness. We already got some folks shouting out things. Okay. We had some people. Okay. Says, okay, I've been waiting. So let's get into this. So when I look at this first semifinal allocation draw, the first thing that screamed out to me was, I really did want to have Slovenia and Ireland separate. No, I know, they're not exactly the same song. Raven is giving us something a little bit more ethereal. It's still sort of like vocal, and I would say like a vocal showcase, whereas Bambi is giving us something a little bit different out of the box. I'd say a little bit more musical theater than kind of like, you know, Eurovision traditional like vocal showmanship thing. But here's the thing, they're going to be this is what I said the other day. I was like, I feel like they're shopping at the same store though. You know what I mean? They're going to the store. It's like, hey, what's up? Oh, you buying that over there? Oh yeah, I'm getting this. You know what I mean? So it's sort of serving the same demographic. So I would have liked to have those separate, but you know, I do still think there's a pathway to get both. So we're not getting crazy now. We're not giving up hope yet. And then the other thing I saw was, you're my best friend. You a real bad A. Serbia, Croatia, Slovenia are all together. We kept the buddies together. They're holding hands. They're walking off into the sunset. And I do believe they will be walking off into the sunset of the Eurovision Grand Final, right? Because I think even the things we have in the pipeline, and we already have Slovenia, it's like, you know, it's feeling like it's going to happen. It's feeling like it's going to happen. I feel like I could say that. All right, I want to say thank you to Revolution, our favorite Eurovision content creator strikes again. We appreciate, I'm here. I've been here a lot this week, actually. I probably need to do less, right? I need to do less. The other thing that that screamed out at me, so if we look at the semifinal voting for semifinal one, Sweden, United Kingdom, Germany. So Luxembourg gets a little shout out from Germany. That's a thing. We got some similarities there. For Ireland, they've got, you know, the UK. We've got Australia in the mix. And then, but then I will say the other thing screaming out to me about the first semifinal is, I just feel like Portugal's all there by themselves. They're there all by themselves. I kind of don't like that. I'm looking at it. I'm not really feeling that. But I do also feel, I think it should go without saying, I think our first semifinal is going to end up being kind of our semifinal of death. It just on first glance. And of course, no, like we don't have all the songs. I'm not delusional. We don't have all the songs. So that's fine. But I do still think you can kind of look and see like what countries have that momentum, what countries are sort of consistently giving us quality. And I don't think it's a ridiculous thing. And plus it's fun to speculate. Okay. Sue me. It is fun. It is fun to speculate. All right. Let's look at semifinal two. Looking at the second semifinal, this one's our wild card semi. This one is our potpourri semi. I'm looking at this and I'm like, there could be a lot happening here. I would say I would have loved to see Ireland in this one. I'm just saying, I would have preferred to see Ireland over here. But looking at this, you know, I'm feeling like this is going to be the potpourri one. I feel like this is going to be the one that's going to be interesting to see. I'm looking in here and I'm a little bit curious because we know in the second semifinal, we've got Spain, Italy, and France voting. I think that that's fine. Looking at the second semifinal, it does feel like there could be some hope here. So I'm kind of looking at Albania, you know, which I think some people sometimes discount Albania and think like, oh, you know, they've got an uphill battle. But I feel like they're in the semi where they could really stand out. They could really shine. Austria, have we really heard the snippet from Austria's song? Pop girly, bombastic, You know, so I think Malta might want to keep that in mind because Malta has some pop girlies in their mix. So might be kind of like, oof, I don't know if you're going to make it. I think even with Norway, looking at this semi, I actually think Norway, depending upon which direction they decide to go, I think if they do decide to go with, you know what I mean? If we go with Gota, I think that they would definitely stand out in this semi. I think that they could garner some support in this semi. Switzerland says they're mixing it up on us this year. They're not going to be giving us a sad boy. But I will say, I think they were saying they were going to give us a bop. I think they were saying that, you know, the word on the street was it was possibly going to be a female vocalist. So I'd be worried because with Austria, we already know we got that. So we've got some like potential head-to-head situations. Denmark. Oh, Denmark. Oh, Denmark. Let's light a candle for Denmark because we don't know what's going to happen. But there is a song in that national selection. Check out my reaction that I think could maybe cut through in here. San Marino's got some help. Italy's in the mix voting. So second semifinal, potpourri. I think this is great for the Netherlands too. The Netherlands didn't make it through last year. This year, I think it's going to happen. I think I'm going to see it for you. So, you know, we had a whole bunch of news go down this week. So much stuff to cover. And I would say we started off the Eurovision. I mean, I guess it's not the start, but I would say we kind of started off the Eurovision season on a high note. And so to talk about the high note, I've got my friends. You might know who they are. And first, I just want to hop in these comments. Oh, ESC Dakota, I see you. Thank you. Run me my check. Not you, ESC Dakota. And I'm bringing up my folks from the, okay, Eurovision. I don't know. It's Connor. It's Louise. Hey, y'all. How are y'all feeling? Are you still high off of that win?
High on tiredness. Connor. Hi, Alicia. Thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Now, y'all were there live, right? Yeah. Y'all got to see it live. What was it like? What was the atmosphere? Did it feel like folks were feeling solid about Bambi going to Eurovision?
It was unanimous.
Electric. In that studio. Yeah. Electric. And it didn't come across on the TV whatsoever. The crowd were, you know, from minute one, the minute you were in the queue to get in, the crowd were going mental, especially for Bambi as the time went on, as we got closer and closer to the results. It was fantastic.
So now my question is, how are you feeling? We got the semifinal allocation draw. Are we still hopeful that Bambi is going to be able to make it through and be in the big show on Saturday night?
Yes.
Yes. We're coming for the final.
We've got the ingredients. We've got the recipe. I don't see why not. I don't see why not. We lost open to Bambi today, and Bambi has amazing vision and creativity. So watch this space.
Okay. Do we think that the theme is gonna, are we still gonna bring elements? Because I actually thought for the late stage, I still thought there were all the elements of things that we could see sort of on the Eurovision stage. So I hope we're not thinking about, you know, mixing things up too much, because I do think the ingredients were there. What do you think?
Yeah, speaking to them today, they were very much talking about just amplifying that for the Eurovision stage come, you know, May, and building on what worked so well in the national final. Of course, the Late Show studios that you alluded to isn't brilliant. And I think they did a brilliant job at doing the best that they could in that small space. So I think the best thing you can do as, you know, fans is go away and look at their other material that they've done, their music videos, particularly Tsunami, Egregore, yeah. Love Bites. Those are brilliant music videos. And yeah, they are actually using the same creative director that they used for those videos.
Oh, wonderful.
So, you can see just exactly the kind of creative vision that they have, and you can try and imagine what they're going to do in May from those little videos.
We're a pagan country, so think pagan.
Okay, I'm liking it. I'm enthralled. I mean, this is the stuff y'all know. This is the stuff that I like. So I am recognizing that, like, I could be coming into this with a little bit of bias. Is there something that you think Bambi or, you know, the creative team could make it maybe more accessible for some people who maybe might find this more accessible? Or do you think if you ain't into it, we're not necessarily going to cater to you. What do you think?
I feel Bambi should stick to what Bambi does best, because they put on a superb performance on Friday. They had the studio audience behind them. They had the national jury and the public vote behind them. And let's bear in mind, like, as far as Eurovision countries go, like, we're usually pretty vanilla in what we send. We're usually pretty safe. There's still an idea here when it comes to Eurovision of Dustin the Turkey, ex-boy band member, and so on. So for the Irish public to really back and act like this is incredible. So I think Bambi should stick to what Bambi does best. Authenticity always shines through in Eurovision at the end of the day, as we all know. I did ask them today about camera angles, and we can look forward to much better camera angles, hopefully, in Malmö.
Well, we all know camera angles are free, okay? They are free. They cost you nothing, and they can do wonders for an entry. Well, y'all know I'm still living in the space of optimism and hope for Ireland, and I just want to thank you for coming up and giving us that, you know, real on-the-ground feel for what happened. Thank y'all so much.
Thank you for having us.
All right. You know I love them. I truly do. I need to go to Ireland soon. But I will say, I think I'm going to do a Balkan tour first. Well, next up, we had another winner crowned this weekend. Luxembourg is back at the Eurovision Song Contest, in case y'all forgot. Yeah, they're back. And I want to bring up someone who was actually there. And it's Tim from that Eurovision site, and you are in transit, so if we lose you, we lose you. But I just want you to tell us, what was it like in the building, if you can? Or since I brought you up, now we're going to lose you. All right, well, we'll see if we come back. Y'all know, with Luxembourg, I wasn't really feeling, you know, any of the tracks that deeply, I'll be real. Also, I recognize some of the tracks. It's just not my demographic, and I'm okay with that. I am completely okay with that. But I do feel like Tali executed very, very well. Tali executed it very well. And we know Eurovision is all about execution. Now, looking at the semi Luxembourg is in semifinal one. But I do feel like Luxembourg is probably going to make it through, right? Like, it's going to happen, right? I don't know. Okay, what do y'all think? Rye Bailey says it's not qualifying. Oh, Petar says, poor Luxembourg, not qualifying in that lineup. And then Lewis says, actually, I kind of like Tali. I know most Euro fans are upset. Almantes says, Fighter is generic. Here's the thing, though. Y'all thinking they might revamp it? I have a feeling they might revamp it. I would not be surprised if they revamped it a little bit, given the people who have their hands in the cookie jar. Well, next up, I just want to talk about Slovenia. I did do my reaction to Raven's song. Raven's going to be in the final, right? Is that the world we're living in? I do know there are some people who are a little bit nervous about Raven. I do, and I think that that's slightly fair. I do think that there are some people who are nervous, but I do sort of feel like, you know, looking at the lineup, I think Raven could get it if we get some of those vocal moments. All right, Tim, you're back. Can you give us a breakdown? What was it like in the room? Luxembourg's national selection. Oh, nope. And you're gone again. All right. Well, next up, you know, so we talked about the people we got confirmed. I want to move on because we've got so many national selections happening. This weekend is going to be crazy. I know everyone's going to be dual screening it, looking at 5-6 different screens. So the first one that I want to kind of get into, you know, I'm going to have to do it. Serbia. All right. And to talk about Serbia's national selection, I have brought up, I am Stevan.
Serbia. Hello. So, thank you for having me.
Yes, no worries. So you got to tell me, who do you think are the acts to watch from PESMA this year?
Well, from PZE, as I call it. I think there are four acts that are kind of in the winner circle. Like, we are discussing four horse race, basically. First of all, Constructa. I think that's an obvious choice based on her past works, based on her success.
she's definitely the one to watch out for. Next up, Teodora. She has a lot of momentum off of Janum that went viral globally. It's a very high quality pop track. Then Breskvica. She's giving us that ethno feel that some people might think about when they think Eurovision. They're like, okay, this is cultural. We might present this to Europe to show off our culture, our music scene. And finally, who was the fourth one? My mind blanked.
Are we, I mean, other people, so what about Marco, Philip?
I don't think
Zena?
I don't think we're gonna have any male vocalists in the winner circle. As for Zena, she might get up there, but I don't think she's gonna win. Based off of the what she did last year, I just don't think it's happening. Okay. Who was the fourth one? I'm just looking at this lineup. Zoria, yeah.
Zoria, I think, yeah.
Yeah, she's also giving us that kind of an ethno feel that mm-hmm. the jury appreciated back in 2022, and so did the public. If only Construct and Sarajevo weren't there. Who knows what could have went down at Eurovision. But yeah, I think we're in for a great show. There are many high-quality acts. We don't know what's going to happen on stage. Pze did surprise us before mm-hmm. with the results. Some of the songs that went under the radar could climb up there. So, yeah.
Well, so my next question is, you know, we sort of, well, how are you feeling about Serbia's chances now looking at the semifinal allocation draw? And do you feel like that maybe some of the acts that we have confirmed already should sort of sway what Serbia potentially sends to optimize it? What do you think?
Well, I don't think there are any acts among those four that would directly compete with anything we have selected so far. So for now, we can just pick what we think is the best option. Even though it's a really hard semi, I feel like the Serbia national final is strong enough to pull Serbia into the final and maybe even on the left side of the scoreboard. We could take a risk and send like Zena. She would that's not a risk. What am I saying? That would definitely qualify.
I do.
How high would it go? That's the question.
Right. Meanwhile, go on.
Meanwhile, I think there are some acts that could finish in the top 10 or even the top 5 within this national selection. And do we risk a top 5 or not qualifying or just send something that's surely gonna qualify but probably end up on the right side of scoreboards? That's the question.
I mean, I think here's the benefit. I think Serbia's got options. And I do think with what the broadcaster did last year with the staging, I do think it was one of the better national selections that we had. I felt like you could see the nuggets and the ingredients of what we could get on a Eurovision stage. So I'm curious to see how all of these things come together. But I do think Serbia is in a wonderful place. So I just want to thank you for coming up here. And we are going to transition because so much news, so little time. And we're going to move on to another national selection that I would say has broken my heart more than I would like to admit. Okay? It's broken my heart too many times. But this year, I don't think my heart is going to be broken. And I want to talk about Estee Lau. And I have Martin in the building. First of all, we have to tell people, how did we meet? Do you remember?
Oh, gosh. I forget. Was it 2016 in Stockholm or was it later than that? It's been a while.
It has been a while. Now I'm kind of... No, 2018.
18 in Lisbon?
Yes.
Right, at the Euro Club. That's where we met. Now I remember. You're right.
Yes. So how are you feeling about Estee Lau this year? And do you feel like Estee Lau is going to come correct and pick right for Eurovision 2024?
Well, I think you're right on the money there. I think this year your heart's not going to be broken. Sorry for all the heartbreaks. I know how it goes. Our pre-selection is pretty interesting and has a lot of variety, but the downside of that is that we usually go for the lowest common denominator. I don't think that's going to happen this year. I think the song that you've been humming along to in some of your videos is going to make it. I think there's no doubt about it that Viz Minus and Pulup will take this, given our format and given that we have a super final of 100% televote. You're pairing the most popular Estonian hip hop group that has won Artist of the Year, like what, 3 years back to back, with the like most happening ethno folk band that we have. It's kind of like it's for them to lose at this point, you know? And I'm just really like, to me, it was really fascinating to see the song translate so well to the international Eurovision fan community, because it's actually like the lyrically, it's a very like it's social commentary on Estonian society, and it's kind of like very internal looking. And to have you hum along to it, to have fans be so excited, I'm so happy that it translated, because my fear was like, okay, well, this is more for us. But to have you say like, oh, this is the kind of fun I want from Eurovision, and I go like, you're right, like we just need to redo the styling, and then it could be like Moldova 2022, you know, it could be that Eastern European kind of funk that it's crazy, it's party, you know, we just have to make a few tweaks, but I think we'll get there.
I mean, do you think they are going to tweak it a little bit? Or because Estonia has a tendency to copy paste, you know, what they do at Eesti Laul, they do at Eurovision. So do you think there will be a let's take another look at this and perhaps optimize this for the Eurovision stage? What do you think?
I think so, because Viz Minus and Pulup are represented by Universal, the same record label that was behind Karia, that was behind Estonia's act last year, Bridges. I think they're going to take note. I think the way that they're approaching this cycle is very kind of like paint by the numbers in the best way possible. Like Pulup and Viz Minus, they have a dance, you know, it's like something that you can pick up, you can build hype off of it. It's very accessible, kind of like give that wolf a banana, you know, like you people can, you know, dance along to it on TikTok. I think they know what the formula is. They know what the ingredients are. They know what they need in the recipe. And I think they're going to take note. And I think the black suits right now, in terms of styling, it's just giving like corporate entertainment. That needs to go. Like, we need to have some like...
not corporate entertainment.
We need to have like a little bit more funk. Like the ethno folk guys, they need to like come correct in some like national Estonian garb, you know, and
yeah,
the hip hop guys, they need to look at what Kalush Orchestra did on stage. And if we get the styling, I think this is going to resonate even better and become a little bit more accessible than the black whatever massacre.
The best. Well, I have to say, because, you know, Estonia has broken my heart before, and I know there are some heavy Ali stands in the world. Is it possible for Ali to go to Eurovision?
Well, if anybody can kind of like ruin the chances of Viz Minus and Pulup, it would be Ali. You know, as well as I do, that Estonia has a rich tradition of voting, like not based on like merit necessarily, but based on tenure, like who's been closest to taking the crown. We've did that with Uko, we did that with Viktor Krone. We've done it time and time again, where we just hand the win to whomever we think is due. And that would be Ali as the runner-up from last year. And I think there's something to be said about like him giving us that like retro Linkin Park package that is very polished. And I'm personally just really impressed that he like produced and wrote the song himself, despite being like a teenager.
Yeah.
I'm not a teenager anymore, but it's still very impressive.
Yeah.
And I think like, I mean, I don't know. In some ways, it's a bit more accessible, maybe. Not just because it's in English, but just because the genre is like very recognizable to the audiences. I don't know. I mean, I think it would be kind of cute if Estonia sent like a very vocally adept singer playing a piano 2 years in a row. That's kind of like the jury bait angle, if you wanted to take it there, you know?
Right, right. Okay. Well, thank you so much. It's so great to talk to you. Don't be a stranger, you know.
Of course, BBD. Alicia. Thanks for having me.
Yes, of course. And on to another national selection. Y'all, are y'all tired yet? So from Estonia, we don't go too far. Well, yeah, we don't go too far. And I am excited to talk about, I mean, it's, to me, there were years that y'all were saying that MGP, Norway's national selection, was the best one. And I was just like, how dare you disrespect Finland like that? And so I am bringing, okay, so you got to plug your stuff so then people know where to follow you and how to stay in touch. And you're going to be breaking down Finland for me because you've done reactions to like all the songs and everything. And you even are trying to learn Finnish. I mean, look, the only Finnish I can learn, you know. Okay, that's all that I got. All right. Plug your stuff.
All right. Well, first of all, thank you so much, Alicia, for having me. For those of you who don't know me, I am Renata. I am from eFop Podcast. I also have another podcast with Maxi Rainbow called Joint Play Podcast. And Maxi and I are actually going together to UMK. And we are going to be, we have press passes. So we're going to be on the ground giving you the scoop as it goes down. So you definitely want to be following me and Maxi. I am at eSpot Pod everywhere.
I love it. Okay, so who do you think is going to win UMK?
Okay, so I have who I think is going to win, who also happens to be who I want to win, which is Sara Fifala. I think that she will win based on the just general hype that has been going around her throughout the whole country. It seems like she was the one who sort of had the Katia effect, obviously not because the songs are the same, because they couldn't be more different, but in the way that she was the one that was immediately the most talked about, the one that was the most reacted to. I mean, I've noticed that people's reaction videos to her song have more views than people's reaction videos to chosen Eurovision songs, which means that people are...
That's right.
Interested in this song, and that bodes really well. I also think that is who they should choose.
Okay.
Because it's something so different from what they've sent in the past. But I do think there could be a few sneaks. I think that we need to be prepared for Michael Gabriel and Nublu to win.
Okay.
I know within the fandom, people have very strong opinions about Michael because of his controversial opinions. But okay. I have heard on the ground that Finnish people don't feel so strongly about that generally. And a lot of people like the song. So that one could sneak through. I think Cyan Kicks could also sneak through.
Okay.
We know that they can perform. We know they can. Because we've seen it. I also think Sini Sabotage could blow us away a little bit. She's a great live performer. So it could be a bit of a toss-up. But I really do think that Sara is probably going to bring it home for them.
Okay, so here is my fear with Sara. Do you think that Sara will be able to, one, stand out? Because we know we're going to probably have some other, like, ballad-esque with a wink, you know, kind of power ballad with sort of like that trap beat. Well, not the trap beat. I think what she does to kind of have like a little bit of a trap beat makes it more interesting. But I think people, casuals, are going to probably see it as somewhat of a power ballad. Do you think she has a chance to stand out? Do you think Eurovision audiences, you know, obviously outside of our bubble, will be able to consume this and receive the song in the way that it seems like most of us have?
I think so. She's actually a really good live performer. She's a really good singer. And she's very captivating. My concern would be that they might make her do a little bit too much. She's definitely someone she just needs to stand there and stay put. Like you were saying earlier, camera angles are free. They need to throw the camera angles at her and make it as easy for her to just stand there and do her thing. And I do think we're having a little bit of a situation where a lot of people are having a lot more kind of out of the box entries, which is great. And I think that might lend her a little bit of helping hand if we don't have as many low-key entries. But she is a very powerful singer, and I do think the fact that the song is in Finnish will also make it stand out a little bit, as opposed to maybe some other power ballads we might see if they're sung in English.
Okay. Now, we do have a comment because I do think there is something to be said for expectancy. I talk about this a lot on my channel, what certain people want to get from a country. And I do think following, you know, in the momentum off of Katia, I just got to do a shout out and then I will let you be free. But look, is there any hope for my girl, Sinny?
I think so. I do. I really do think so because she's a great live performer. Like, she's a, like a festival circuit kind of person. And she's done a lot of TV work. She knows how to work the camera. And she's also been in the game for a really long time.
It's yeah.
Like, she is, you know, a spring chicken here. Like, she knows what to do when she's on stage. And I think the song is so fun. It would be really nice, actually, to see her go because, like, we already don't have a lot of rap in Eurovision at all. Mm-hmm. Have a female rapper, I think.
Come on.
Really, really cool. It would really stand out a lot. And Finnish people definitely like her. I think there is a chance.
Okay. I'm living off hope and faith. Thank you so much for joining me. Check out the eSpot pod and everyone follow on socials. You know, I'll be tagging everyone like at the end of this so you can stay connected. But thank you so much for breaking down UMK for us.
Thank you.
Oh my goodness, so much news, so little time. Let's break down a little bit because it's early, but that doesn't mean anything to the betting odds, okay? It's like the casino is always open, it seems, and I want to break this down because the odds right now, we've got Ukraine at the top of the odds. I'm going to just give some of my thoughts and y'all tell me what y'all think. So during the betting odds right now, we've got Ukraine in number one position. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, I don't think Ukraine is going to win this year. You know, I do think that there's some sauce in there, but I don't think people want Ukraine to win again. It's too soon, I feel like. I feel like it's too soon and people are going to, you know, not give them all that shine. So Ukraine is number one in the betting odds, but I don't necessarily think it's something that we have to be like writing home about currently. Up next is the United Kingdom. Now, the UK, at one point, the UK, I think, was in second position last year, you know, when Mae Muller was announced or maybe when the song dropped. And we all know what happened at the end of that rainbow. But the thing is, I think this is a little bit different because we've got Ollie Alexander. We've got, you know, an actual known figure to a certain degree. I'd like to believe that this person is seasoned enough to be able to deliver us something solid on stage. Now, we don't have a song yet, but the UK being number two, that don't feel crazy to me. I'm just saying. I don't think it's crazy. So then next up, in third position, we've got Iceland. And I'm going to tell y'all right now, you know, some people will just chalk it up to politics of why Iceland is this high in the betting odds. I would also chalk it up to the fact that, real talk, y'all know how Iceland rolls. They might not even bless us with their presence at Eurovision this year. Let's be real. Because if any country will be like, thank you, next, it's Iceland. For real. So, and I would also say, I mean, y'all look at my reaction. Iceland has some bangers in that national selection. And I do feel like Songvi Kempin, it does tend to be like good year, meh year, good year, meh year. And they're just keeping that trend up. Because, baby, the songs I have on my playlist, I'm going to be traveling this weekend. Y'all, it's a lot. My headphones will be blasting. I will be blessed and bathed with music. And luckily, Iceland happens to be in the mix there. So I'm just saying, Iceland in third position, I don't feel like it's crazy. But again, like I said, they might not even bless us with their presence. Fourth position is Italy. Italy's always kind of high in the betting odds. But I do feel like at San Marino, we've got some heavy hitters coming back. We've got some heavy hitters in the mix. I think Italy's going to come correct. I mean, duh, right? It's not crazy for me to say that. In fifth position is Sweden. Sweden's always high in the odds. Do I think Sweden has the opportunity to do a double? No, I don't. But there are only two countries that I feel like have the potential to do a double, and that would be Italy and Sweden. They're the countries that I kind of look at and I'm like, oh, if anyone's going to kind of do this, this is, oh, wait, I said Sam. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I know San Remo. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I'm up here talking. I'm looking at several different things. You know what I said. Anyway, in sixth position, Israel is in the betting odds. We don't know what Israel is going to serve. So there's that. Seventh position is Lithuania. Now, y'all know Lithuania's national selection is a little long for me. You know what I'm saying? It's a little long for me. I like to wait at the end. And, you know, the people tweak the songs in the middle. Like, y'all know I liked Shuto, Tuto, but I was, like, deprived from actually getting into the, you know, the performance version, the Eurovision version, because what they had on Apple Music for so long was, like, the original version. So, with Lithuania, I'm kind of, I don't want to say waiting, but I guess the right answer is I am sort of waiting. I'm waiting, but I would love to see it. Lithuania is a country that I want to have on my, like, countries that can win Eurovision soon. And I do feel like Lithuania's sort of music market, it's always something interesting. It's always something dynamic. So let me see what y'all are talking about. Okay, Lithuania got blessed with this allocation draw. They are getting all the diasporas in that semi. Okay, Tiago says none of Lithuania's songs is going to win. Really? 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 Okay, wait, hold on. Rodrigo says Lithuania is not even a sure qualifier. Okay. Okay. Oh, and then we have, RM, because the Roop is back. RM says the Roop song is cute, but nowhere near on fire. Okay. Okay. Wait. And then, Tigran says Lithuania isn't winning, but they have competent entries. Okay. Okay. And then just to sort of wrap this up a little bit, eighth place, Ireland. Amazing. Baby Thug, I really am hopeful for. And I so want them to qualify. I so want them to qualify because I do feel like Ireland is really on the right track. And I would hate to see what the result could be if Bambi doesn't make it through. You know what I mean? So we really got to show out and be clear that it's like, yo, this is what we wanted from y'all. Like, this is what we wanted from y'all. So we will see. Now, and then to round out the top 10, we've got Georgia, ninth position. Georgia's coming with some stuff. And then Norway. I don't know. Norway, their chances at Eurovision, I feel like all the things they have will qualify. So that's not the part that I'm worried about. But I do think, like, I'm worried about top 10 for Norway, depending upon which entry they decide to pick. So we're moving from Norway and we're moving on over to a little bit of a neighbor, sort of, yeah, a neighbor. And we're going to talk about Dance Melody Grand Prix. And I've got Simon Falk with me. I'm so excited. Hey, so, okay, you got to tell me, who are the acts we need to be watching out for from DMGP this year?
Well, it looks like for now there are two front runners. One is our Dione, who is a big name in the Danish music industry, and her entry, Mirror Ball of Hope. Because she has the experience, she has the vocal abilities, she has everything that it takes to do well at Eurovision. And then Saba with her entry, Sand, which is for now the favorite in the betting odds. And that song is written by Two Sweets and a Danish, sorry for her voice, I don't know why. It's, should have made warm up exercise before I talk to you. No, but Saba's song is written by Melanie Weber, who we are very familiar with. She's both in Melfest, and she also won as a songwriter with Denmark in 2019, Love Is Forever.
Right.
And Jonas Tander, who has been songwriting, has written songs for three Eurovision entries, amongst them, if I remember correctly, Michael Rice in 2019, and I'm going to say Amber Warrior in 2016 as well. And there's a third one I can't remember just on the top of my head. And those are the two that are in front now, but we have Basim back in Desmond Dupont 10 years after he was on the Eurovision stage. And his song, while it may not be the taste of the foreign fans, he is a big name in Denmark. He is beloved. He is charming. He has, you know, he might have grown 10 years older, but he still has his boyish charm and people really like him in Denmark. So those are the three names I would say for now sticks out in that field.
Okay. I mean, here's the money question, though. Do you feel like Denmark is going to be able to make it back to the big show on Saturday night?
A hesitant yes.
Okay.
That's the best way I can say. I was at the pre-listening the Tuesday, 2 days before the songs were released. And we were sitting there. And, you know, of course, you get excited in a room full of, you know, Melody Grand Prix fans and, you know, the good sound system is up and you're pumped up. Okay, what are we going to hear now? But I generally think that this year we have 8 songs that, while they may not all of them be competitive, they are at least decent.
Okay.
And will decent be enough for a Eurovision final? It might be. But we don't have, you know, 1 or 2 songs that really sticks out of the field. But we don't have any, like, really horrible songs that
okay.
Because I feel like for some years we have had in DMGP some songs that were there either because the artist just wanted to showcase something on the DMGP stage, but it would never stand a chance of neither winning or, you know, in that case going to Eurovision. But this year we have songs that people have thought, okay, this is something that could work in Eurovision.
Okay.
We also, You could say one thing, and I've seen that criticism online as well, that diversity might not be as big this year. But if I could put it somewhere on a scale, while actually, because I am right now in Malmö, so I can make the Melfest reference.
Yes.
That's why I'm dressed, you know. I took on a fancy blazer jacket.
Come on now.
I ironed a shirt for everything. No, we are at the at the welcome mingling, the official welcome mingling for Melfest here at Malmö Town Hall. So I have left the canapes and my champagne glass upstairs to find decent internet connection in this very, very stone-built building. That was a sidetrack. Anyway.
I do want to ask, though, too, just starting off, what is the spirit there in Sweden? Does Sweden feel like they're going to, you know, come back and try and do a double? Do you feel like there were any ingredients? I don't think, have y'all watched rehearsals yet? Is there anything we should look out for Saturday night?
We haven't watched rehearsals yet because we normally can't go to Melfest rehearsals before Friday, but this year we are allowed actually on Thursday, so we can see the rehearsals from tomorrow. But from what I've heard, from the people who were at the pre-listening on Tuesday, which I wasn't because I had this, you know, other job that actually pays me money sometimes. They say that we'll get both, you know, a good old-fashioned schlager. We will get radio-friendly Victor Crone vibes, which, of course, is because Victor Crone is one of the songwriters in this
one
of Melfest. And we will get, you know, a ballad, and we'll get Samir and Victor doing Samir and Victor.
Okay.
So, but on the top of my head, I'm not sure that we would have a contender for the Melfest victory on Saturday. But it's going to be a fun show, and it's going to be in Malmö Arena. So that's the preview of what Eurovision will look like. Besides the fact that the stage in Malmö for Melfest is at one end of Malmö Arena, and the stage for Eurovision will be at the other end of Malmö Arena. But you know, visually, you will see how will it look with a filled, with a capacity crowd and everything. So that's going to be fun to watch at home.
Well, I just want to thank you for taking a break from the drinks and the snacks, because I don't know if I would do the same for others. But thank you for your on the ground coverage.
Of course, and I'll be glad to come back with another analysis when we know more of Melfest and TMGP.
Of course, thank you. All right, y'all. So we've covered a lot. We have covered a lot. I was really efficient today. The one national selection we have not talked about yet, you know, that's doing some stuff, you know, we haven't really talked about Ukraine's national selection, and we did touch on Norway's national selection. I'm going to just say right now, Norway, you're at a crossroads. I wish I had some news or some serious music I could put behind me. And someone said, oh, like Festival Dokkansau, here's the problem. The songs aren't all released in the United States, so I haven't been able to bathe in it. So, you know me, I don't want to like talk too much. I've only been able to listen to a couple of the tracks. So if I talk about Festival Dokkansau, I want to be able to talk about it as a whole. Okay, like talk about it as a whole. And then someone said, what about Malta? And to that, I would say, what about Malta? And we did touch on Malta earlier, but what about Malta? I want to see what Malta's going to do. I don't know why they did this setup the way that they did. All of those things. Why? Why? But I will say, some people are not giving Malta a little bit of a shot. That's something to hop into. They got some bops up in there. Like, just if you're watching the, you know, watching the performances, I was like, ooh, 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 ooh. Some of those things. Some of those things. Oh, and then, okay, so, da-da-da-da-da-da, do-do-do. Malta's music videos are out tomorrow. I will hop in there, okay? I will get y'all something on Malta if we can get the music videos. I do want to hear the studio cuts. We got to hear the studio cuts. All right, so Joey says, if we're talking about Vidbeer, Joey says Teresa and Maria will probably win. Oh, the divas were born as a human being. Yeah, I'm feeling that song. That's probably my favorite, but I am liking the tell me why I'm crazy, crazy. Tell me why. I'm feeling that one. It'll stay on my Eurovision pre-selects playlist, okay? But those two are like my snippets, but you know. We'll see. I think this is the thing. I'm not really worried about Ukraine. That's why it's like hard to talk about them. Because it's just like, they're going to do something. And it's going to work. You know, I'm just saying. Tell me why. Lewis says, Malta did better with internal selections, i.e. Chameleon. I agree. I don't even know why they're doing this. Like, I don't know. Gustav says, do you think we've heard this year's winner yet? That's challenging for me because there are some songs in the pipeline that I'm like, depending upon the mood of Europe, I could see it happening. I think Germany's got one of them. We've talked about this before. I won't be redundant. I think that Spain has one, maybe one and a half. We'll see after Thursday night. You know, so we just have to wait till tomorrow and we'll have something to say about that. Gospodin says, never underestimate the power of Malevin's fandom and his staging abilities. I don't care. Well, that's like, I just, sure, if Ukraine wants to send Malevin, great. It's one less entry that we have to worry about winning, you know, and so then that can make room for, you know, possibly Rick from Germany, possibly, you know, possibly Italy if they want to come up with some, even though I think Italy, again, too soon for them to win, but making the way for the UK, you know, in my dreams, making the way for Serbia or Ireland. Don't play. I'm just saying. So Norway. So can I just say, I just want to wrap up on Norway. I think Norway is at a crossroads as a country at Eurovision. I think I said this in my reaction video. Y'all might not have seen it, but I just feel like Norway has a choice. Do y'all just want to utilize Eurovision as a space for like Norwegians to like have fun, pick the song that they think is like joyful and just go full force with that? Or do they want to win? Because for years they were telling us that they wanted to win. But then the way that that national selection is sort of set up and the artists that they were kind of inviting to the mix, I was like, okay, so then do you want to win? Because I don't think that this system that you have now is selecting maybe the most Eurovision optimal entry and piece. So that is my thing to Norway. Again, I am not Norwegian. I'm American, third party, non-involved, except for my rest of the world vote. Hey, rest of the world vote. But no, I do think Norway has to figure out what they're trying to do. Is this just, we're just going to have fun, which is fine. That's totally fine. Or are you like, no, we really want to win and we really want to host? The choice is yours. The next thing I haven't talked about, we haven't really talked about Georgia and Austria in depth. And I will just say the snippet I heard that could potentially be representing Austria, I'm like, okay, my interest is piqued. It's giving pop girly. We know that she's a dancer and can dip it, do it, you know, bop, bop. So to me, if I were in a country that has something in the pipeline, I would be thinking like, dang, I wish I could see, you know, a little rehearsal tape of that before I decide who I want to send to Eurovision. You know what I mean? Like, do you want to send direct competition or do you want to stand out? So I would be curious. I would be curious about that. So Benny ESC, oh, Austria snippet is good. I've heard it once and it's still in my head. Exactly. I'm like, when I heard it, I was like, oh, if this is it. I am curious. I am curious. So I'm looking forward to that. Someone is saying Austria's entire dance rehearsal was also leaked. You can check on it. Well, I'm not going to do that because a dance rehearsal is a dance rehearsal. You know what I'm saying? So Austria has that. Georgia, I think we're hearing. So all the snippets that Georgia has kind of dropped, like about what she's kind of trying to do, is she wants something boppy. Yeah, she wants something boppy. So again, I'm like, well, girl, can you dance? Can you sing and dance? You know, just because direct competition. Remember, we're living in the world of direct competition. And so yeah. So I think we touched about Georgia, Austria, Norway. We talked about the betting odds. Wonderful. It's open floor time. We've got 7 minutes to go. And so if you've got questions, drop them in the chat. Drop them in the chat. If I've already talked about something before, I'm not going to go back. But we're going to see. Oh, Joseph says, what about Dora? I don't really know anything about Dora. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not hearing like buzz of, well, the only thing I'm hearing about Dora is baby lasagna. So to me, I think I've just in my brain been like, I guess it's going to be baby lasagna. And I will say, with that said, if I'm in Finland and I know, you know, Croatia's going to do baby lasagna, then in my mind, I'm like, do I want to do Vox Populi? Do I want to do Windows 95 Man? Because honestly, Windows 95 Man gives me that Danish entry that we kind of all wanted to see advance, but it didn't. The 80s throwback track, like that's what I'm kind of getting vibe wise. Like when I watch like the interviews and stuff in the games they play. Do y'all love the UMK? Like the UMK promotional content is amazing. Like it's amazing. I find it so entertaining. Even with the subtitles, it is still really fun. I think Croatia is likely to send baby lasagna. That's what it's feeling like. And even if it's not baby lasagna, you know, what if it ends up being Let Three? So I just think there's a lot. There's a lot there, but I do think Croatia has, at least in the first semifinal, Croatia has the upper hand. So if Croatia's sending baby lasagna, you know, I don't know if I would go with Vox Populi. Okay. Thomas, is Dani Minogue on the cards for Australia, do you think? I don't know. Because to me, I don't know. I'd be here for it. But I don't know. I guess I would wait. If I knew we had Dani, I would wait till like last week of February, maybe let the dust settle from some of the weekends and stuff. And then I would make a really, really splashy teaser video, everything showing this, like I would go heavy with it. So if they do have Dani Minogue, I say go for it. You know, what was it? Sound of Silence. Now my heart awakes. Donnie, yeah, Dami Eam had thrown her hat in the ring. And so I don't know this year if I would go with Dami Eam. I don't know. Europe seems to be wanting a boogie. And you can't give her a bop. But also there's a lot of direct competition. But I don't know. I think the dudes are going to get the upper hand on the ballads this year. Unless Serbia sends Zorya. I think that's the one kind of ballad that I'm like, I think could do something and could challenge some of the dudes. If we're for female artists. What else we got? Okay. Casper Lee says, my biggest Eurovision wish is that we have a song that would make you as emotional as Arcade when you first reacted to it. I mean, not just me. I feel like all of us were on YouTube embarrassing ourselves like in a puddle. The worst thing you can do is edit yourself crying. I will say in my 2020 being canceled video, I did cut out a chunk of me crying because I was like, I cannot just be sitting up here doing this. This is so weird. So I cut out a bit of that. But like Arcade, you know, a reaction is sort of continuous. You know, I think it's possible. I don't know if this year is going to be the year, but because it just feels like we're getting a little boppy. So yeah. Dino asks, who do you think is opening the semis? Well, Lorien's probably going to open one of them, right? Like maybe semifinal one, she'll do something. And then, you know, what I want. Give me Ace of Base. Come on now, y'all. Let me have my Ace of Base moment. I know 18s is going to be at Melody Festival and, you know, that's cool. But we won't have them at Melfest and, you know, Eurovision. You know, that won't happen. But again, I'm still holding out hope. Or, well, and at the big show, if we're talking about the grand final, y'all already know what I want. I want the holograms. I want the ABBA holograms on the stage. Boop, boop. What do we think? Oh, do you think Maria Sati could potentially win this year's contest? I'm on record saying that I think, yeah, it's possible. Laura, Sarah Sipola could maybe have an Arcade kind of moment. With Love, I've heard the song, there were no tears. Like, I feel it, but there were no tears. So, I don't know. And the trap beat, I don't know, you know. Teddy said, I think he meant what countries are opening. Oh, who I think will open? So, if we're looking at the first semifinal, for the first semifinal, depends upon who goes, but Cyprus might get a chance. Ukraine might get a chance. I could see them doing Ukraine because, like, Ukraine was technically, like, hosting last year in a theory. So I could see them being like, Ukraine, you get to kick us off. I don't know about Ireland opening. I wouldn't have it open, the show. I would want Bambi sort of in the middle to be like, whoop. You know, Croatia, I don't think they'd have open. But yeah, Ukraine, maybe Cyprus. Maybe Lithuania, I'd say, for the first semi. For the second semifinal, opening the show. I would be praying on Armenia because I don't know what they're going to give us. Switzerland says they're going to give us a bop. So maybe Switzerland. They said that they're going to do something more upbeat this year. That's what the streets are saying. So maybe Switzerland could open the show. I think that could be something. It won't be Malta. Maybe Austria. We've been talking about her doing a bop, but she might be a bop that you want to have, like, to close the half, you know? So Switzerland, maybe. Let's see. And then closing. Oh, yeah, I guess we might as well do who would close the show. Second half. So if we're looking at the first semifinal, who I think would close the show? If Finland had Vox Populi, I think they'd let them do it. Slovenia won't close the show. Iceland's got a lot of bangers, so that's possible. And Moldova's like fan favorite. We don't know. I did react to some of the songs there, but I think Moldova maybe might not be going fun. They might be going ethnic, so that might be in the middle. But I could see Luxembourg closing semifinal one. I could see it happening. And then for the second semifinal, depends upon what direction Norway goes, because actually I could see Gotha and or I mean, what's the other like front runner for Norway? People aren't still talking about my AI or Kaino. Kaino could close if they choose Kaino, but you know, the running order, people aren't putting their money on that. So maybe it's possible there. Estonia with pull up. If Estonia is coming with that, that could be a joyous close. I would totally be here for that. Let me hop. Let me see what else I got in here. Other questions. So I'm Stefan says, my AI is still in the running. Okay, Norway. Benny says, I think Luxembourg closing the show. They have the momentum. Yeah. Man, we had a very full state of play. And so much to talk about today. And honestly, we're going to have so much more to talk about. The season is not over.